this is for you. You give it to your wife, but don't tell her it came from me, okay?
All right. You may be seated, please. Please open in your Bibles this morning to the book of Psalms, chapter 86, verse 17. I want to talk this morning on the title of the message is, Do You Know What Is Following You? Or Do You Know Who Is Following You? I want to preach and teach and prophesy all together today. Psalms chapter 86, and we'll deal with this passage near the end as it helps bring greater clarification, I pray, to the message this morning. David is praying, show me a token, 86, verse 17, David's asking for a sign. Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, hast holpen me and comforted me. David is praying for a sign. He had already, much of our theology is birthed out of experience. Paul's was. David was instructed years earlier from this passage. He was getting ready to go to battle. And God revealed to him, you wait for a sign before you send your military out there. There were mulberry trees. And you wait till you hear the sound on top of the mulberry trees, or the wind blowing. And when you see that wind hit the top of those trees, David, you go to battle. It was a sign. And David believed in God giving signs. And so he's praying for a different kind of a sign. But he's praying for a sign. We are told in Scripture, in Psalms chapter 23, at the end of it, David said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Do you know why mercy and truth, or excuse me, goodness and mercy follow us? Why did not God ordain mercy or goodness and mercy to go ahead of us? We have angels that are surrounding us. But when you, in your walk with God, are running the race with patience, behind you is mercy and goodness. I was praying about that. Why are they not ahead of us? And the reason be, which could be many, is that mercy goes behind you mopping up the messes you've made. Aren't you glad to know that? Aren't you glad you got somebody behind you clean up some of your messes? Because we all make messes. My wife, when we go visiting our kids, she wisely, after I clean up, goes behind me and cleans up what I failed to clean up. I'm glad mercy follows me, and I'm glad mercy follows you and cleans up some of the mistakes that we are good at making at times. The Bible said, where the crib is clean, there are no oxen. But where there's oxen, there's a mess. And just all you got to do to make a mess is just breathe. But mercy goes behind you, and God's love, and it follows us. But that isn't the only thing that follows you. I want you to turn to Mark chapter 16. Because here, Jesus said something else that's going to follow you if you be a true believer. And in Mark chapter 16, it says in verse 16, "He that believeth and is baptized." Have you been baptized? I want to ask you something. Have you been baptized? "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." And it says that in verse 20, "So they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following." Signs are following true believers. Now, this subject of signs is very interesting. God gave me a sign this morning. Not that I needed it, but I did. I always ask God to confirm. Bob Garner said on the way to work, he noticed a sign. Did you catch that in Sunday school? God can use people they don't even know they're being used to give you signs. But let's open this up a little bit more. Because the subject of signs in a believer's life is very important. It's very interesting. It's taught in Scripture. And I want us to see today how signs have a place in your Christian life. Because signs validate the believer. Jesus said that these signs will follow them that believe. So that's interesting. So if you ever have questioned whether you're a believer or not, you ought to look to see if you got signs following you. Because I ask myself, and I'm going to let you ask yourself what I ask myself, does it have to be these things specifically? Does it have to be one or two or all of them? Or is there another meaning here that I personally believe it means that supernatural things will follow you? Because I wrote down the list, and here's the list from Mark 16. So I asked myself, have these things happened to me, and are they in my life? Or number one, in my name, they cast out devils. I don't know if too many could say I've cast a devil out of somebody. You might think they got a devil in them, but I mean from a biblical stand. Come out! Anybody ever see that? It's very exciting. It's very real. Number two, they shall speak with new tongues. I know people that are believers that neither of these have happened to them. They shall take up serpents. Brother Jim talks about back in Kentucky, that church, that they take up serpents. No, thank you. I'm sure it's symbolically speaking here. Number four, if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. There's no way to prove that one. I may have drinking something I didn't know was poisonous, but I didn't know. Number five, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I had people in my church, I know people, if they were honest, they'd say, "Pastor, I really don't know if I've ever laid hands on somebody and watched them recover. I believe in healing, but I don't know if I've ever happened to me." So, looking at that, I believe in those things. But just because they're not happening to you and you do not have one or two or all of them doesn't mean you're not a believer. But if you are a believer, you still will have signs. in the supernatural that will follow you. Because you're either a believer or you're not a believer. And may God give us understanding in this truth that has often been misrepresented and I believe taught not biblically. Perhaps the best place to jump right in on this subject, please turn to Matthew chapter 16. Because it is the story of Jesus has just fed another 4,000, first time 5,000, then 4,000. And Jesus has made some claims that has upset the religious leaders of his day, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Both of them did not agree. Pharisees didn't believe the way the Sadducees did, or the Sadducees believed the way the Pharisees did, but they agreed on one thing. Let's tempt Christ. So in Matthew chapter 16, I want you to look at verse 1. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said to them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red, and in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red, lowering. Oh, you hypocrites! You can discern the face of the sky, but can you not discern the signs of the times? A wicked and an adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. They were telling Jesus they wanted to see a sign from heaven. They were asking in a bad attitude for something supernatural to occur in the heavens to prove that Jesus was the Son of God. And you must get a hold of the other Gospels to get clarification of the meaning here. Because I've heard ministers misrepresent this passage and say it's wrong to seek God for a sign. Anybody ever heard that? And then they quote this passage and said, Jesus said, an adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. And I thought, and then I heard this one say, it's wrong to seek God for a sign. You're supposed to be seeking God. And then he went on to say, in fact, for anyone to have slogans or sayings in their church that says, expect a miracle every day, he said, that's wrong. I thought, whoa, because in my home church up behind was up there, beautiful carving wood said, expect a miracle every day. And I thought, my Lord, my whole congregation is adulterers. I'm an adulterer because I have expected a miracle every day. Is that the meaning? Absolutely not. And let me explain, please. Jesus is rebuking them, declaring they are an adulterous generation, seeketh after a sign. And he said, there shall no sign be given unto it. We know that that sign was given, as he said, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth as he was 3 days and three nights. It isn't seeking after a sign in general. I'm going to go back to this. Jesus rebukes them. Now, adultery, a true adulterer is someone who is unfaithful to God in this sense. How were they unfaithful to God? It isn't seeking after a sign in general. It is seeking, what they were guilty of was seeking after a sign to make Jesus prove he was God like he had claimed he was. And there is a difference. And you got to read the three other Gospels to get a better picture of why they were asking Jesus to produce a sign in the heavens to validate the reputation that he was getting and the words that he claimed for himself. Because Jesus had developed a reputation, and they did not like that reputation, and they did not like what he had said about himself. They didn't mind him being a prophet. They didn't like the claims he had made about himself. Let me show you the claims that were being made about Jesus. In St. John 4:25, the story of the woman at the well, when Jesus got done talking to her, we read these words, "The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah's coming." I know the Messiah's coming, which is called Christ, or the Anointed. "When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speaketh unto thee am he." I am the Messiah. That's a bold declaration. "She went back to the city and she said, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" And the Pharisees, who knew the Old Testament, that a Savior, a Messiah is coming, are saying, "You're not the Christ. You're not the one." In St. John 5:18, we read these words, "Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God." Jesus, his words, that's making yourself equal with God. They didn't like that. In St. John chapter 6, we just read where he's fed the 5,000. You see, the Pharisees and Sadducees didn't mind him getting a reputation that he was a prophet, but they were furious of his claim that he was the Son of God and that he was the Messiah. They would not tolerate that. In St. John chapter 10, verse 32, we read that these leaders, that it permeated down through the Jewish people. And it said in John 10:32, "The Jews took up stones against to stone him. And Jesus answered them, many good works or miracles have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me?" The Jews answered him, saying, "For a good work we stone thee not." It's not the miracles we're wanting to stone you, but for blasphemy. "And because thou being a man makest thyself God." You know, that is still today. People will not accept Jesus as God. And if it is to be interpreted in the general sense that all sign-seeking is putting you into the category of being an adulterous generation, and boy, there's a lot of adulterers found, by that definition, found in Hebrews chapter 11. Gideon would have not been put there had he been that, because Gideon asked God for a sign. He asked for a fleece that would validate that what he was asked to do, it was God. In Acts, when they didn't know who the next apostle would be, for Judas went out and hung himself, they had two, and they were asking God for a sign of which one it would be. And so they cast lots, believing, as Proverbs says, twice it mentions the lot, and it says the lot is cast into the lap, and the disposing thereof is of the Lord. Another place it says in Proverbs that the lot causes contention to cease. So these early disciples, before the Holy Ghost was poured out, because of a biblical practice that many had followed, were casting lots, believing that the disposal of it would be a sign. That's how they found Jonah. Job brought out in the Bible study Wednesday night about a lot. Now, when Jesus, before he was crucified, they came to him. You remember in Matthew 24. And they asked him, "We know you've claimed you're coming again. When you came the first time, there were many signs that were told in the Old Testament that would happen to validate you coming the first time. You've claimed you're coming again the second time. Do you remember those words when they asked, 'What shall be the sign of thy coming?'" Jesus did not respond to them and say, "Didn't you hear what I said in Matthew 16? Of course, they didn't have it numbers that way. "Didn't you hear what I said back then, that an adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and no sign shall be given it?" No, he didn't say that because it didn't apply to the disciples. Because it's not wrong to seek God for signs. What was wrong, and the reason he called them, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, hypocrites, and put them in a category of being an adulterer, was because they had not accepted the signs that had already been given to prove his divinity, that the Old Testament that prophesied a Messiah would come also said there would be signs that would come along with him when he comes that would validate that he is the Messiah. Now let me, before I proceed, to give us a better understanding of what is a sign. Well, there are signs that are physical signs, and then there are signs that are spiritual signs. When I say physical, and that was what Jesus, when he began to rebuke them, he let them know, you read the signs about the weather, but you sure have been ignoring the signs about me and me being what I've claimed. When I was a boy growing up in my home, if my dad was there, I always knew I wanted to be better. But if I came in the house, and if I didn't know my dad had come home yet, if I smelled vinegar, daddy's home. And the reason I knew daddy was home, because daddy was a tile setter, and every day when he came home, he would go on the back porch and he'd get vinegar and open it and clean his hands to get the thin set off and the other stuff. And the smell permeated the house. So vinegar to me was a sign. Daddy's home. In fact, if a woman is carrying a child and she's been carrying that child 9 months and then water starts coming out, how many know that's a sign? Get to the hospital! But Jesus is rebuking the Pharisees for not accepting the signs spiritually that had been made known to them that they were refusing to look at, that proved he was what he claimed he was. There's an old saying that said, "There are none so blind as those that will not see." You see, Jesus had been claiming deity, and they wouldn't accept it. And they were not going to give in to the signs that had already, and we'll take a look at them, had happened that had already validated his claim of being God. And that had already validated him as divine. The signs of Messiah coming had been given, even as he spoke, but they refused to consider them and accept them, and they were demanding another sign of their choosing. So they said, "Show us a sign from heaven." My goodness, Pharisees and Sadducees, how many more signs do you need? You see, over and over, the prophets in the Old Testament spoke of a Messiah coming. Ever since Genesis 3, it said someone's coming to redeem man. And the prophets said that there would be signs given to let them know it's time, the Messiah is here. Not only signs to let them know it's time, signs that would validate it's him. What were the signs that would happen that God had given to make them aware of the events told earlier by the prophets years ago? What were they not seeing at that time that they willfully didn't want to see? You see, in the Old Testament, they were concerned about him coming the first time. They're interested in him coming. How many know they were wanting to see who this Messiah was? In fact, Christmas has just passed. And we talk about the wise men from the east that first appeared. And they were following a sign. A star, remember? That was a sign that led them. But let's look at some of the signs that the Old Testament said would be there to validate him coming the first time. And just as there are signs given for his first coming, do you know there are signs given for him coming again? God gave a sign for his first coming. Let's just look at them. One of them was the shepherds watching over their flock by night. Do you remember what the angel said? This shall be a sign unto you. You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in the Hilton. No, in a manger. Signs often are unusual. So they ran. You say, well, that was them. We need signs that are for everyone. Okay. God gave a sign in the heavens at his birth. For in the book of Matthew, we read of the wise men that came from the east, Matthew 2:2, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his sign," or his star, "in the east, and are come to worship him." Man, that was a great sign that God gave in the heavens. Maybe that was why they heard that. I'm speculating here. Maybe they heard that this one, that when he was born, they're saying a sign, the wise men followed. So maybe they were saying, well, do it again. Give us another sign in the heavens. In Matthew 24, when he comes again, the Bible says, "And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven." Luke 21:26, answering the disciples' question, "What shall be the sign of thy coming?" They knew he gave signs to indicate when he came the first time. And what will be the signs that indicate when you come again? In Luke 21:26, Jesus says, "Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken." I believe as there were signs in the heavens when he came the first time, I believe biblically there will be signs in the heavens that will appear also when he comes again. In fact, I told my wife, honey, in prayer, and I don't claim to be a prophet or son of the prophet, though I do claim to have the gift of knowledge, and I've had the Lord show me events that have happened, mostly personal, occasionally, nationally, but I have felt in my spirit such strong impressions that there will be new discoveries about our creation that were never known, that will wow the science world. Maybe this sheds light on the Pharisees when they said, show us a sign from the heaven. Do it again. In fact, that attitude of prove to us what you claim, that attitude grew and manifested itself when he was on the cross. Do you remember? As he hung there, one of the soldiers had must have picked up and they said, if thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Prove it. Give us a sign. You're who you claim you are, if thou be the Son of God. That was the temptation the devil gave in the wilderness. Heaven did show a sign. Jesus hung on the cross. And that's why Jesus said, no sign will be given, but it will happen. And it did happen, as he said it would, for when he died on the cross, heaven did give a sign again. It said in Luke 23:44, and it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour, and the sun was darkened. There was another sign that was told to help one recognize that it's time for the Lord to come. Now remember, the words to them was, an adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and no sign will be given except that day on Calvary. What are the signs that were given that they were ignoring that validated his claim of deity and what he told the woman, I am the Messiah? Do you know in the Old Testament it was told by two well-known accredited Old Testament prophets? First, there was the prophet Isaiah. All of them, Pharisees, knew Isaiah was a valid prophet. But that prophet, along with brother Malachi, when I think, say Malachi, everybody thinks, oh, you're going to talk about tithing. No, in the book of Malachi, along with Isaiah, he declared, here's going to be a sign that will validate the Messiah when he comes. I'm going to send someone that will prepare the way for him. He will come in the spirit of Elias. And we know that was John the Baptist. And so when John the Baptist came, and they asked him, who are you? Are you he that should come? Or do we? And John said, I am not the Messiah, but I am he that was prophesied. And he's quoting Isaiah, and he's quoting Malachi, and he knew his Bible. I am the voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. And when John saw him to validate and to be a sign, he said, that's him. And God gave a sign from the heavens again as a dove landed upon him. So there had been signs, but they were refusing to look at them. The sign given to the shepherds, the star given to the wise men, John the Baptist, who both Isaiah and Malachi, the prophets, declared would come. In fact, he had fulfilled the sign given at the ending of Daniel's weeks, the departure of the scepter of Judah. And they also knew that the Messiah, when he comes, he will be like unto Moses. A sign to let you know what he will be like. He will be like a prophet unto Moses. Well, Moses, what do we know about Moses? And so when the Messiah comes, he's going to be like Moses. Well, Moses was a lawgiver. Moses gave the law. And Jesus was like unto Moses. When he spoke on the Sermon on the Mount, and he gave a great teaching of the law, but expanded on the law and gave it greater clarification. And then Jesus himself said that I didn't come to destroy the law, I came to fulfill the law. So Moses, he gave the law, but he didn't fulfill it. But just as it was said that the sign of the Messiah, he would be like Moses, he was like Moses. In greater ways. What I'm trying to say is that many signs had already been given for them to see as promised by God, but there are none so blind as those that will not see. They were not about to have this Jesus reign over them. And so please notice Jesus in the text in Matthew 16 calls them, O you hypocrites. It is a great hypocrisy when we slight or choose to ignore the signs of God's ordaining and we seek signs of our own devising. And that's what they were doing. They were in essence saying, we don't accept the signs that God has given. We'll tell you signs that we demand. You don't tell God what to do. And I was shocked when I examined this video that we're going to show probably of Leroy Jenkins. When he was here, there were miracles. I mean miracles that were so clear, nobody could deny them. And when I was watching it, I was seeing people that were here in that service that saw the supernatural. And they don't come now. And I've talked to some of them. And you know what I hear when I talk to some of them? Well, I'm just not sure. No. No, don't use that. You know, you saw. Don't tell me you're not sure. How many know we got to be faithful to the truth that has been made known unto us? And these Pharisees and Sadducees, though God had given signs, they were saying, nope, not good enough. You give us a sign of our choosing. Oh, may we learn a lesson. We become ourselves adulterous when we are not faithful to the light that has been given us. If God has revealed something to you, you are responsible for that truth. And if you're unfaithful to the truth that has been made known unto you, you qualify as an adulterous generation. Does that make sense? Nod your head. If you don't like me, nod it this way. Don't you dare do that. I was reading in Psalms 111, verse 4, and it said, He hath made His wonderful works to be remembered. When God does a work, a wonderful work, and when you think about it, Jesus had just multiplied the loaves and the fishes. And that's why Jesus said to them, if you're not going to believe me for what I claim, then at least believe me for my miracles or the signs that validate. But when God does a wonderful work, you can't forget it. It's to be remembered. God's works have no expiration date on them. I believe, and this hit me in prayer, and I want to share it with you. I believe that when we are in heaven, we will not only be praising God for the miracles that happened in the past. Our praising will be because not only of miracles we've seen performed in the past, we will see where when we are in heaven, current miracles being performed while we're there. Because it is the nature of God. God's nature, He cannot deny Himself. So yes, when I get to heaven, I'm going to rejoice over things in the past and the miracles. And when David wrote Psalms, he sang, let's praise Him for the Red Sea and let's praise Him for the Jordan. But you know, since David has died, there's been many miracles since his death that have happened that we praise also, because miracles are an ongoing thing. No, God will not be healing people in heaven because nobody will be sick. But His miraculous glory will continue to display itself. And when we are in glory throughout eternity, we will be able to praise Him for miracles of the past. But we will behold miracles that will continue to happen and will throughout all eternity because it is the nature of God. I realize we will not be walking by faith, we will be by sight, but our sight will behold the miraculousness of God throughout all eternity. I can't wait to see more. And when David wrote this, he was remembering miracles of the past. You all know the story about how one time I was down and depressed, and I was saying, Lord, if I've found favor with you, I need a sign. I'm not asking if I'm saved. I just want to know if I'm on the right direction. And if I am, would you let me find a clothespin tomorrow? And I've got a jar of them up there. For the next day, I was down working on a rental, taking wood off and way up the top. I saw a jar. I didn't know what was in the jar, and I'm jumping. When I tipped the jar over, I realized it may come out and fall upon this precious head that is full of such wisdom. And I fell down, and I protected myself, but the jar tipped over, and it poured out clothespins, the sign that I'd requested. Do you know that God, who can make something out of nothing, can also take something and turn it into nothing? You ever see on TV magicians that cause something to disappear, and you know there's a trick involved? You know that when that woman disappeared or that tiger disappeared, it went into some way, there's smoke and mirrors. But when God causes things to disappear, it is not a trick. And you know what He can make disappear? He can turn something out of nothing into something, but He can take something. I remember in that video, you see, Charlie, my friend, when Leroy points to him, pull up your pant leg, and another disrobing was taking place. I felt that anointing rub off on me this morning. But as Charlie lifted up his pant leg, there was a spot on his leg about an inch and a half high, an inch wide, that was dark, that was raised a little bit. I got my nose right in there. I remember looking up at him and saying, I've known you since you were a child. I've never seen that spot on your leg. And Leroy asked him, where'd that spot come from? He said, I don't know. He asked him to sit down, and within 1 minute, he said, now pull your pant leg back up, and I want to show you something. He did, and it was gone. He can turn something into nothing. You say, what's that all about? Do you know He can take your sins and make them disappear? If you have had the devil bother you lately and bother you and accuse you of your past, I want you to know that your sins are gone. They have disappeared. And when He said, when the blood will cleanse us from all unrighteousness, they are gone. When Jesus showed up to the people after on the road to Emmaus, and they said, oh, please come in here. And He went in. Then He had communion with them. And then the scripture says in Luke 24:31, and their eyes were opened and they knew Him, and He vanished out of their sight. Don't talk like that, Pastor. When you talk loud, it makes me jerk. I see, but jerk. He can make things disappear. Child of God, what I'm wanting to say is signs are very important in your Christian life. And because they are important, let me just say this. David was asking God for a sign. We're told in Scripture that he was asking for a sign. And he asked God for a token. When I was a child, I had a heavy burden for my father. And I wanted to know if my father would be saved, and I asked God for a sign. And I asked Him if He would give me a star that would go from there to there if he was to be saved, and He did. That encouraged me for 40 years until he did come to God. I wonder how many times we miss the signs God is giving us. We look at it in the natural. I want to encourage you to be bold in your faith and ask God for signs. That's what David did. If you'll be bold enough to ask God to validate what you believe He's put in your heart, He will confirm His word. He will do something out of the ordinary. Don't worry, I'll be done in time by the Super Bowl. But God sent a prophet to Hezekiah to let him know he was going to die. Please listen to me. And Hezekiah, when he was told by the prophet he was going to die, that wasn't good news he wanted to hear. And then as the prophet was leaving, God said, no, you go tell Hezekiah I'm going to extend 15 years. Because Hezekiah, when he started to leave, he started to say, oh God, I don't want to die, I don't want to die, I don't want to die. And God heard him and came back and said, Hezekiah, you're going to live 15 more years. And then Hezekiah did this. Give me a sign that will... Now, God wasn't upset with it. Please give me a sign. I heard the prophet, but I need a sign to validate what he said. And he asked God to turn the sun backwards. And you'll read where the shadow went back, those 10 degrees. God gives signs to encourage the faith. God wants to do the same for us. When we stand upon His promises, believing Him to accomplish a dream or overcome an illness or get out of debt at times, it can seem impossible. But every voice tells us that it's not going to happen. And it's easy in our Christian life to give up and get discouraged. But if we can learn to do what David did and say, God, give me a sign that You're going to do that which You put in my heart, then your faith is being released. And faith is what allows God to do amazing things. You are the apple of His eye. He loves you. He cares for you. And so I would say, join the crowd with David and go ahead and ask him for a sign. Give me a sign that that promotion is coming. Give me a sign that this depression I have is going to leave. Give me a sign that my child will break his addiction. Give me a sign. And when you do that, you're releasing faith. And faith is what God operates in. When you ask, you're saying, God, I believe You can do what You promised. God, I believe You're bigger than what the medical report says. I believe You're bigger than my checkbook. I believe You're stronger than my critics tell me. And God, I may not see it. And I believe, Lord, that You've put this in my heart. But Lord, would You give me a sign? Would You give me a sign my daddy's going to be saved? You've given me such a tremendous burden, and He did. Would You give me a... He does. And so I encourage you this morning. As much as He says, prove me now, herewith saith the Lord, and see if I won't do it. I say to you, I believe from the Word of God, prove me now herewith, and ask for a sign. And let Him give it to you. And I believe He will. Brother Jim, you, in 7 years I've never had a word for you, but I have a word for you. About a week to 2 weeks ago, I saw you praying and asking God, Lord, what do You want me to do? I saw you seeking God, and I saw God visiting and showing up. I don't know if you're aware of it, but God has been visiting you about 7 to 10 days ago, and there's been visitations that have come. I only want to say to you, put your sail up. The Holy Spirit is moving in your life. Recognize it. And I just want to validate that. And I pray that makes sense to you, that there's been a time of visitation that God has come. Sherry, the Lord moved on my heart the other night, and I began to pray for your sister. And I know you've been praying with her and for her, but I just want you to know I've joined in for her. And may God do those things. And Joe, I'm to pray for your ears. I see you out there, and if you've said anything about your ears, I don't know. But I do know that I have felt strongly impressed to pray for your ears. And God help that there. I wish God would tell me who's going to win today. But it don't work that way. But I do believe that God gives us supernatural things to validate what we already know. Let's stand, please. Brother Joe, would you come up here? I just want to pray, and I'm going to do what I felt God wanted me to do. And I want a few ladies to pray with Sherry for her sister. And Brother Jim, did that make any sense today at all? All right. Sorry. Heavenly Father, I pray for my brother that You love. I pray for his ears. I want to be obedient to You. I don't know, Lord, if it's physical healing or to be able to hear Your voice more, but I lay hands and pray that the anointing be more real thank you for my brother in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we do thank you that signs follow them that believe. You're a supernatural God. And we give you the glory and we give you the honor. As much as there were signs of your first coming, there's signs of you, Lord, that are going to come. May we, Lord, be aware of them. Oh God, show yourself strong. Let your people be bold enough to ask you for a sign. And Lord, we'll trust you that you will give it. You're concerned about your people. You love your people. We're the apple of your eye, and you love us, and you want us to have peace. I pray for your Lord, for anyone that is carrying a hurt. And when they think of that hurt, they often hurt, and they don't even like to think of it. But I pray today healing. The Holy Ghost come and bring healing to that person with past hurts. And let an anointing come, and let the balm of Gilead come. Oh, sweet Jesus, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your goodness. In the mighty name of Jesus, bless your people. Let these signs follow them that believe. Lord, validate. Lord, we don't question you. We know you're the Son of God. We declare you to be the Son of God. We, Lord, are not guilty when we seek for things to help us in our walk. And I bless your people as they seek you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Have a good day. God bless you. Love you.